The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, everyone, rest assured, there's really not much to worry about because Biden has seen the light. He's now talking about shutting down the border to invaders. And I pause and I continue. Only at night. In other words, 12 hours a day, 18 hours a day, business as usual. But he's going to shut it down from midnight to 6 or whatever. And if you, none of you would be tricked by that, but if you, and I'm speaking rhetorically about the masses, if you believe that, if you buy into that deception, you should go back to elementary school. This is really bad, and it's not going to get better. William Gein is back with us tonight, the only organization really doing anything serious about trying to slow this down in the allegedly elected government that sits in D.C. and in the state capitals. He's back. What's up?
The Constitution makes it very clear, Jeff, that only Congress can set immigration policy. And that means that what Biden just blathered out is illegal, treasonous, deceptive, deadly, dictatorial, and deceptive.
He's a dictator. You got it. Absolutely.
And we can shed a little more light on his style of dictatorship, because it's a trend amongst Democrat presidents, not only by declaring that 2,500 illegals at least will be allowed into the United States each day. That overcomes many different votes by Congress that were derived from our elections. Biden retroactively has nullified the outcome of U.S. elections, nullified the out, and I can prove it, because what he just did by setting the threshold at 2,500, well, that sounds pretty familiar, because the amnesty type of legislation that we just defeated twice this year, the rotten border surrender deal, the border deal that one Republican Senator James Lankford crafted with the Democrats in Sinema, okay, it set a threshold at 5,000. It was very similar to what Biden just decreed through executive order.
Yeah, good catch.
So what we have here is legislation which was defeated by Congress and defeated by ALEPAC and defeated by the American public that is now a policy through executive decree. Now, unfortunately, this isn't the only time that's happened, because in the first 3 years of Biden's administration, he's been handing out work permits, given de facto amnesty by not enforcing the laws and not deporting anybody, all sorts of things that we used to see in legislation going back to 2005 and 2006 that were called temporary worker programs and guest worker programs and comprehensive immigration reform.
Uh-huh.
These were bills that ALEPAC, Congress, and the United States public defeated. But yet, here they are, as a matter of practice, under the Biden administration. Yeah. And now let's go back in time all the way to 2012 under Barack Obama's administration. The Congress considered the DREAM Act legislation several times. It was their answer after we defeated their comprehensive immigration reform, guest worker, temporary worker programs that were going to give amnesty to 12 to 20 million illegals at the time. After we defeated that several times, they're like, wait, back to the drawing board. Let's do something that focuses just on the kids or the people that claim that they were brought here as kids, and we'll call it the DREAM Act. And that way, these evil haters of brown people will never be able to stop us doing something for the children. Yep. And, of course, that DREAM Act will be the tip of the spear that once we get it in, we'll use those children that receive legislative amnesty to then go get the whole legislative amnesty. And we've seen this openly discussed by Democratic and Rhino lawmakers.
That's a perfect
many times. Yes. But we defeated the DREAM Act. In fact, Senator Dick Durbin cried on the Senate floor in December of 2010 saying somebody had lied about his DREAM Act bill and killed him. That somebody was William Gein and Alipack. It was us.
You stopped
and we knew
it.
He was talking about us because it was we were the ones that threw
Did
the
Did he actually
the rock.
Cry, William? Did he actually cry?
Oh, yeah. He was all teary-eyed at the podium, and it was like late at night, too. It was like 10 or 11 at night, and it was clear that the bill was dead. And Durbin's crying on the floor. I was being threatened so much. I was in a something similar to the Witness Protection Program at the time, continuing to operate Alipack from a hidden base of operations because of the threats against me in the run-up to the vote. And, you know, he said, somebody lied about my bill. And, you know, we didn't lie about the bill. But anyway, the DREAM Act legislation was defeated several times in D.C. by the lawmakers who got their positions as a result of our elections and by the public who did so by lobbying Congress and electing those people to represent them. But then Obama said, let's do it anyway. Here's DACA. Boom. DACA is the DREAM Act through executive, not even executive order. It's a memo. It's written on a piece, probably it could have been written on a piece of toilet tissue, okay? It was a memo. Dear Department of Homeland Security, we're not really going to say this part out loud, but our DREAM Act legislation refused to get passed several times, so we're just going to write you a note saying go ahead and do it, okay? Okay. And since then, the United States has been under a form of martial law, not the type of martial law like you see in the movies where there's tanks on every street corner and troops pointing guns at you, the type of martial law under the definition of law, a departure from normal law, a departure from constitutional law.
Got it.
The United States has been under a form of martial law ever since DACA was passed, and every day that DACA remains in place, that illegals roam freely, illegals enter freely, 2,500 per day will be allowed in. Every second, whether you know it or not, whether you agree or not, whether you admit it or not, every second that condition exists in the United States, we're not in a functioning constitutional republic. In our elections, in our existing laws, in our Constitution, and our citizenry.
I wish I had a dollar for every time I've said that exact thing. You're right. You're 100% correct. No.
It's all out the door. It's all a sick joke. We'd all save a lot of money if Congress just came home and stopped pretending like what they do means anything.
They're in the money stream now. They're not going to give it up. Term limits is the only way out of here. And I'm talking about one term and you're gone. That's enough. It's not going to happen, though. It's too late. I'm sorry. I'm not a quitter. I don't give up. But this is absurd. We have no remote resemblance of a representative government in this country anymore. And you can take it from the state on up. Red state, blue state. I don't care. They're both biased and skewed, which is okay. That's the right of the electorate, allegedly, to put in office the type of people you want. But I don't think we have that in our nation's capital under any stretch
of the United States is under dictatorial control.
Yes, sir.
By non-constitutionally enumerated powers operating through the agencies of the executive branch. Okay? whoever they are, whatever their interests are, they have control over what our executive branch does instead of the existing laws. Because right now, the Department of Homeland Security is giving out, you know, work permits to illegal aliens when it's a felony. That's a felony. It's a felony to help an illegal alien get a job. It's a felony to entice illegal aliens to enter and remain in the United States unlawfully. They're not supposed to get taxpayer big
resources. Fine by me. Well, we've normalized not just treason, but highest treason. Here's a regime that has literally dissolved with utter intent our international boundary. And without borders, you no longer have the right to refer yourself to yourself as a viable nation state. Doesn't work. You can't do it. It's like a cell with no membrane. I know mycoplasmas are cells with no membranes. I get that. But talking politically here, you don't have borders. You don't have a country. Highest treason. Highest treason.
It is treason. And, Jeff, the country's ready to hear this. The country is ready to do this.
Yes. I agree.
All these Democrats out there cackling at their lawfare convictions for slut money got paid out, you know. Somebody paid some adult film actress, pseudo-prostitute, I guess, of some sort, hush money, blackmail money, then that's supposed to be more important than 2,500 illegals per day invading the United States and illegal aliens from Chechnya outside Special Forces, Delta Forces homes in Carthage, North Carolina. You know, that's supposed to be more important than that. You know what? Ha, ha, ha. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. It's real funny, isn't it? You know what's going to be really funny? If things go my way, if things go the way the American public wants it, and we start putting some of you turkeys on trial for treason, the big T. And I mean it. Forget about your slut money.
Let me put you on trial for treason, baby. Right. Let me just sidestep a little bit. How many bills have been introduced or motions in the House of Representatives calling out highest treason on Biden, on the Biden regime, on Blinken? You can go down. You can make a list up real quick. How many motions have been introduced? Zero. None. How many will there be? None. They're all on the take. They've all been blackmailed, bribed, and what's your other word? You got another word you use, but whatever. Anyhow, they're controlled.
Co-opted.
This government, fine. This government is controlled. It is co-opted. It is under the boot of international Jewish Zionist communism, and get that boot off of them? I wish I knew a way to do it.
Well, under the Constitution, in Article 3, Section 3, treason is specifically limited to levying war against the U.S. or adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. And clearly, now, the argument can be made that what Biden is doing in direct violation of Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, assisting the invasion of a United States that he is constitutionally bound to defend against,
right,
that we got him under the levying war against the U.S. It's a type of warfare. But if you don't have that, amongst these illegals, there are people, you know, well, I guess we haven't officially declared war against some of these countries. That's where it gets sticky. And the other thing, it's a little, you know, now under U.S. Code
Since
Title 18.
Since when do we need an official declaration of war to go to war? We don't do that anymore here. I get the point,
well,
though.
You know, some of them in there are people that have been are on terror watch list and
that's right
are members of terror groups. You know,
right.
Now under U.S. Code Title 18, the penalty for treason is death or not less than 5 years imprisonment with a minimum fine of $10,000 if not sentenced to death. And any person convicted of treason against the United States also forfeits the right to hold public office in the United States.
William, have you ever seen or heard any mainstream media newscast use the word treason? No. Don't even answer that. You won't. And it's hard to find in the alt media a sewer of disinformation. So be careful there. But it's not being identified for what it is. It's constitutional treason.
Well, levying war means an assembly of armed people to overthrow the government or to resist its laws. And right now, that really describes the Department of Homeland Security. This is a group of armed people who have overthrown our form of government, because the way that they're conducting business is not a republic or constitutional. So there's the overthrow of the government, and they're clearly resisting our existing border and immigration laws. Now, very few people apparently have been arrested or charged or actually convicted of treason. But there's also some different state levels of treason considerations. And apparently our legal tradition about treason comes from the Treason Act of 1351.
Okay.
I'm trying to see.
Take your time, it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see whoever's been charged with treason. You know, what exactly, what are the mechanics of it? How does it happen? How does it go down? What do we need to do to take it to the next level?
My understanding is there has to be a motion introduced in the House to open an investigation regarding treason against X, Y, or Z. We're not going to see it. If anybody did that, they'd probably be dead within a week. Heart attack, turbo cancer, you name it. It's not going to happen. These people are so compromised in Congress. Bribery, blackmail, it doesn't matter. They are owned by the enemy. It's no joke. There are a few aren't, but the majority, forget it. It's a done deal. Look at Mike Johnson. Come on. These people are all just absolutely controlled by evil. I don't care which evil it is. You pick your
One of the biggest evils
poison.
About this thing is that before putting out a press release responding to this today, I had to read through 5 or 10 different articles all proclaiming that Biden was cracking down on the border.
In fact,
some of these pro-migrante groups are upset. The whole political theater is arranged on the stage. Biden is taking executive action to do something about the border. And the reason they're doing this, I know exactly why they're doing this, is because illegal immigration is the number one or two issue next to inflation this year amongst the electorate. And Trump's got a 15-20 point spread, greater favorability on immigration issues. Mm-hmm. Trump's out there saying he's going to mass deport illegals. And that has shot him to the lead prior to this conviction.
Of course it would. He says all the, generally speaking, all the right things. We've been through this with Trump before, and we know exactly what's going to come of it. Broken promise after broken promise. You're not going to do anything unless it's green-lighted. Do you know, remember Sheldon Adelson? He lived in Las Vegas. He's a billionaire Jew. He died. He was a big Trump supporter. Actually, he supported... I think both sides in the last election. I think he supported Biden, too. Anyway, he died. Miriam Adelson just gave Trump a check or a wire transfer for $100 million. And her terms are, what she wants in exchange is for Trump to sanction and back the entire Jewish annexation of the whole West Bank. Now, if you don't know anything about the West Bank, it's not Gaza. Understand, it's a much bigger area to the northeast. And it's full of Palestinians, and it's occupied territory by the Jews. So she's wanting the entire West Bank now to be green-lighted, to be absorbed, annexed by the State of Israel. $100 million. Do you think Trump's going to not follow through on that?
Of course he is. I need to send her a fundraising letter. I could get by with a small portion of that.
Well, 1% wouldn't hurt. No, I agree. Put me on there. I'll sign it. I'll help you write it.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Listen, I think, let me see if I can find the election count. I think we're at 150 days or thereabouts. What's the year?
Something like that.
Number of days.
Yeah.
Until
the
election.
The Georgia.
And then we have to, of course, we have to subtract 30 from that. because, okay, so November 5, 2024, 153 days, which means voting will begin in 123 days.
Very good. Yes, here, I've got the story. It'll go up in headlines and within the hour. Miriam Adelson wants West Bank annexation in return for a $100 million donation to Trump. It is what it is.
West Bank annexation, what exactly does that mean?
Well, the whole West Bank full of Palestinians will become formally part of the State of Israel. And they'll eject all the Palestinians.
I thought the U.S.'s diplomatic position was to support an independent or separate Palestinian state. Or do we ever come to a conclusion on that?
Remember, there are two. This is not Gaza. This is the West Bank. This is another Palestinian enclave, okay? And if there were to be a Palestinian state, it would be one or both, Gaza or the West Bank. And the Jews aren't going to allow either one. It's not going to happen. No. Trump faces three more trials. Remember, the Georgia trial against him is now paused officially until after the appeal to remove Fannie Willis is heard. So that'll put it off another couple months, maybe, something like that. This is all working into a huge crescendo, building up to the selection.
Well, Trump, can Trump pardon himself? I mean, if he wins the presidency?
I don't know the answer to that. I've seen a couple stories. It's an interesting concept. I don't know what the legal aspects of that are, but if he can, he should, obviously.
Well, the main fuel that helps Donald Trump now and always has, going all the way back, that the Democrats don't seem to get, is that when you attack him, when you victimize him, when you mistreat him, when you treat him poorly, treat him unfairly in a debate. Remember Megyn Kelly with Fox News? You know,
sure.
These court cases, anything like that, people pay attention to that, and it helps Trump. Trump doesn't even have to say anything. It doesn't even have to be what Trump's about.
Have to say anything.
People see a man, and it could be a woman, being abused by these corrupt powers.
No, he's a victim, and sympathy is a natural Christian Western world reflex. We have it. And
well, we saw it during the 2016 elections. They would come out with the biggest attack on Trump, and they'd be like, oh, Trump is the devil because he said this, and everybody's like, what? What happened? Trump said that. What did he really say? Oh, he really said that. That's not what... You lied about him. I like him more. And it would happen again and again. They would attack with these vicious attacks. And a week later, his numbers are up. Every time.
Hold on. We got to take a break. It's really crazy. The anti-pope, we'll have Father Kramer on Friday. It'll be interesting. The anti-pope Francis has once again welcomed a group of trannies, males, and homosexuals to the Vatican to sit in the audience. There's no question about where the church is being taken. Yeah, I'll be right back with William Gein, alipac.us, our last voice on the national political public stage, in a minute. Okay, welcome back. Here's one for you. He's not the same person. Biden allies freak after Wall Street Journal blasts his slipping brain. I would say it's pretty well slipped, hadn't it? Anyway, here's a good story, if there is such a thing. Hold on, where did I put it? Yeah, the Congress has done something interesting. House GOP refers Hunter and presidential brother James Biden for criminal prosecution for perjury before Congress. How do we read that? Is that an indicator that Joe will be sent out to pasture, to lazy acres, put in a chair with lemonade under a tree? Or will his corpse be liquefied and put back in the municipal drinking water of Washington, D.C. when he dies? Anyway, it's interesting to see something that happens that looks kind of correct, at least on the surface. So there
now
we go.
Liquefying corpses, that's a new processing thing. It's a popular, more affordable than...
Relatively. It's absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Where do they put the liquid? At the least, they put it down the sewer. At the least.
Right.
Okay?
But they put the body into a vat with...
It's a pressurized vat, yeah.
With
it's
probably
stupid.
Heat it up with some type of caustic chemical or reagents to break the body down, and
connection
the body back and forth for a while until it's
kind of like a washing machine. That's what I understand. I may be wrong. But here's the deal. Reclaimed sewage water being put back into the municipal drinking water supply is not unusual now. It's insane, but it's being done. And if your city does that, you know you don't turn your tap on anymore. That's my suggestion.
Well, I mean, that's been happening a long time, Jeff. I mean, you know, when you've got a town or a city that's
saw
on
it 40
a river,
years ago. I know.
Well, it's always been done that way. I mean, you know, because if you've got a town or a city on a river, most rivers and streams and have multiple
flush
towns
the toilet.
And cities.
I got it. I know.
It goes back into the river.
That's as wrong as it gets, too. But that's what they do. I understand that. Can you imagine that the chemicals and other toxins that are actually being dumped into rivers? I think it's incalculable.
Well,
and then there are the stories. Go ahead.
PFAS. PFAWA.
Yeah.
Forever chemicals.
Forever chemicals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it's a mess. But you know what? These type of things happen more often in a country where the people have no say.
Or no information to make a say. And they,
well, even
you know,
if you have that information, if you're listening to the show right now, it doesn't, you know, what are you going to do? Write your member of Congress? And what if your member of Congress drew up a bill and everybody in Congress voted for the bill and it was signed into law by a president? Well, it may have an impact as long as whoever's responsible for, sending money to Ukraine, Israel, and keeping the border wide open, unless that group of power players doesn't like it. If they don't like it, you could run for Congress yourself, win the election, see like-minded people elected all across your state and country, go and pass the law, have it signed into law by a president, and have it still not enforced because within the executive branch agencies, there are these traitors committing treason who decide what does and doesn't happen. That's how we've got to get a way to get a list of who all these people inside the agencies are, the real people who are.
Those are the bureaucrats that don't get replaced or switched or changed out. They just stay on and on. And you're right. That's a big list. That'd be a very lengthy list. There are a lot of them that need to go. They're tainted. They shouldn't be there.
Well, one of the critical things that Trump did not do, and I've seen this type of rookie mistake made by many Republicans that have had a chance to do it, he did not sweep out the agencies. He started trying to play ball. I mean,
name me a president who has. I agree with you. Name me one who has. They just don't do it. If they get to a point where they've actually exchanged, replaced 50% of the D.C. bureaucracy, that's huge, and it doesn't usually happen. But yes, it's a very important subject that never gets talked about. I concur.
Well, there's a group, and maybe we can find the name of them. There's a group out there somewhere that's supposed to be compiling lists of names of people that if Trump wins to put into the agencies to sweep them out, put them under different leadership. And I'm not sure if it's the Heritage Foundation. This would be a good place for some of the helpers out there that listen to the show to help me out with an email. Because somebody is collecting up, you know, supposedly names. Now, whether the project's going to succeed, I mean, but, you know, I remember when I read about it, I was encouraged because I was like, yeah, wow, somebody really needs to do that. But then you get in the situation where – D.C. insiders who have all this power, money, and influence start influencing the group that's doing that. And we're like, yeah, you want to put some new people in agencies? Yeah, okay, we'll do that. But, you know, when it comes down to wars, economy, and immigration, you still do what we tell you to, right?
That's right.
You want to put some new people in there. You want to have gay marriage. You want to have whatever it is you want. That's fine. We don't care about none of that stuff. You know, you can have all that. Mm-hmm. But if it involves the economy, warfare, or immigration, the same thing's going to happen. And, you know, they've been really, really good at that, you know, at least as far as accomplishing their goals. I mean, I think, you know, I've seen that reflected in a lot of interviews lately. I've seen a lot of voters out there, man on the street type stuff, Mark Dice, the people talking to voters.
Yeah.
And Gen Z, I've seen Gen Z polling data, people who feel like it doesn't matter who we elect, Trump or Biden or anything else, the same things continue to happen. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the people who are saying that are accurate. That's a completely truthful statement. It doesn't matter who we elect.
Right.
You know, and people say, oh, things were so much better under Trump. I think some things were better under Trump. I agree to that, but, you know, a lot of things.
Of course things were better under Trump. There's no argument there. It's obvious, yes.
But the border didn't get secured. The border wall didn't get built. The illegals didn't get deported.
No, DACA, but the border
did not
was still there.
Ended.
It's now dissolved, and they're helping these people in by flying them in, busing them in, walking them across, giving them their documentation, giving them $40,000 a year. It's more. It's increased. And placing them all over America. That you couldn't point a finger at Trump doing, not that I know of.
Well,
anyway.
153
days. That's not long.
Nope.
Now, what do you think? All right. Now, my position on this may not be yours, and that's okay. I think the whole thing is long ago scripted out, and they know precisely what's going to happen and how chaotic it's going to get, how crazy it's going to get. Trump facing three more trials. Do the math. They're going to try and sentence him on July 7th to prison, or is it the 11th, whatever it is in New York.
If
that's
they put
coming.
Him in prison, let's say that hypothetically they march him into a prison and tell him he can't talk to anybody, which would bring up, you know, massive constitutional issues. Can you you know, maybe if you do have the right to imprison them, can you they give you the right to cancel their campaign or to prevent them from campaigning
or
they campaign out of a jail cell or whatever.
Needs to go
they put him in
right
jail.
Away.
If they put Trump in jail, he becomes the Nelson Mandela of honkies, okay?
Count on it.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna do it. I really do.
Well, if they do, he wins. He won't have to spend another dollar.
Is when even applicable? Appointed, selected. That's how I look at it. You can't go into this thinking it's an election where votes count when you look back at the last election and they're trying to tell us that Biden got 83 million votes, more than any other presidential candidate in history. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Well, that's the thing, Jeff. People are not going to accept the Democrat win. If the Democrats win for any reason, even if they like somehow legitimately won, which I don't think is possible for them to do, but let's say even if they did, it's still not going to matter because nobody's going to believe at this point. They cannot win and be believed in winning.
Question from that. Let's assume that the worst. Let's assume that Trump goes to prison. Will it result in civil war, or more likely, in my view, red and blue states seceding, and the federal government being weakened to a substantial degree, and we end up with regional U.S. Now, remember, though, even the red states have a fairly large contingent of communists in those states, and they're already playing games with power and their numbers. They're growing. That's where a lot of these invaders are going, the red states. They're trying to tip them and homogenize the impact of the so-called GOP and Democrat factions. Those labels are almost gone now, too. Too many rhinos out there. I think the majority of GOP members are rhinos now. damn near in Congress.
There's a lot of people listening in states right now where there are down ballot races that are so important.
They're very important. I hope LAPAC can step up. I know it's hard because you don't have the time, but you've got to make recommendations for people who don't have time to really do it. Go ahead.
What we do, and we've been doing that on Congress, and we plan to do that more on Congress, we cannot endorse on the state-level stuff, but I can generally encourage people to look at the state-level stuff. And I can use examples like here in the state of North Carolina. Right now, we have a Republican candidate for governor named Mark Robinson, who would become the first black governor of North Carolina, who is neck and neck with a super woke leftist liberal named Josh Stein. The polling data has got both of them at like 47%.
What was that last name again? Was that
Josh Stein, a Jewish name?
Jew running for a position of power and influence? How unusual.
He's a Jewish attorney who is currently serving as the Attorney General of North Carolina. And, you know, but the thing is, him and Robinson are tied 47.4%. And Robinson is a grassroots populist conservative.
Do we like him?
And Hal Weatherman is the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor. These are two races that we need people focused on. In North Carolina, with the Trump thing, sure you like Trump. Maybe you're one of the first ever donors. Apparently people pulled over their cars listening to the news and donated to Donald Trump. Donald Trump just received a huge amount of money. What was it? $several hundred million.
Something
and a
like
big
that.
Portion of it came from first time ever donors.
I know.
And that's important. But a lot of what's going to happen on the Trump-Biden thing is going to play out. This stuff on the state level, your governor, your lieutenant governor, your secretary or your council of state, your state house, and even your county commission races are important because all across the country, a lot of different places, people can't afford to move because real estate and housing is too high. The interest rates are too high, so you can't refinance. So if you've got a place, you got to try to hold on to it. Well, here comes the property insurance increases, where in many states property insurance rates are doubling and tripling. And
insurance
here comes the taxes.
Or tax rates? Insurance
Homeowners
or tax
insurance.
Rates?
Homeowners insurance.
Okay.
Homeowners insurance. People who pay $1,700 a year to insure their home as they're required to do under law to be able to have a mortgage.
Right.
Are suddenly being told to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for that insurance by companies claiming that the rebuild price of the house is blah, 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 blah. Okay? Mm-hmm. But then you have the property reassessments where $200,000 homes are now assessed at $450,000. And so they're supposed to lower the taxes on the county level to stay revenue neutral. But in places where there are Democrats in control, they're like, oh, big opportunity to suck up more money for our agencies and employees and our power group. So all across America right now, there are people who cannot afford to move from where they're at, and their taxes and other stuff are about to push them out of their homes. But that's less likely to happen if you pay attention to who your county commissioners are and who your – you know what? Here's a big one. Who's your sheriff? If you're living in a place that's got a sheriff
that's the
race
biggest
right now,
one. I agree.
You go to your little computer and your little cell phone and you start typing in Joe Smith County sheriff race and find out, because the last thing you want is the woke police in charge of your county.
No, you get a communist sheriff and you better move if you can. You want to move out of California. You know, there's a tax if you want to move out of California. You can't move without paying. They get you leaving.
I'm going to be preaching that people study, learn, explore their down ballot now and start handing out $25, $50, checks to down ballot candidates that they agree with and volunteering for down ballot candidates and going to some events, talking to some neighbors, sending some emails, putting out some yard signs, volunteering for a phone bank, going to some meetings, engaging on this down ballot level, because there's a chance there could be a sweep here, a real sweep, especially if the Democratic bases are demoralized. And right now, college students aren't excited about Joe Biden. Black people aren't excited about Joe Biden.
No, there are a lot of blacks are moving over to Trump. We know that. It's happening. We'll see. I just want to see how they've written this all out. That's my only curiosity at this point. Trump is saying some horrible things, which just are disgusting, about Gaza and the slaughter that's going on there. And now he's taken $100 million from one of the most powerful Jews in America, Miriam. Come on, this is not, you can't operate independently when you've taken that kind of money. No.
You can't, and I'm not saying it's right, Jeff, but you can't have any hope of winning the presidency of the United States without access to that level of money.
What's that tell us about the state of this country?
Well,
we're in trouble. Big trouble. What are the people calling into Alipac saying to you? What are they saying? William, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. What's their biggest concern? What are you hearing? Anything different? Or are they still just shocked? What's the reaction to the so-called Biden border plan? What's the reaction to the bill in Congress, the anti-Semitism bill? What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing much about the anti-Semitism bill. I'm mostly just hearing people who are emailing back to us off of our email alert list when we send out a release or an activism alert, and they are emailing back questions, suggestions, and a lot of attaboys. And we're getting a lot of attaboys with the donations and the checks that are mailed in. The people who appreciate what we're doing, who understand how important it is what we're doing and how difficult it can be. You know, but hey, right around the corner, I mean, if we can hang in there, September 11th, 2024, mm-hmm. Alipac turns 20 years old.
Hey, September 11th?
9/11/20. We were founded on 9/11/2004.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's quite an auspicious birthday.
Well, when we were setting things up and the website was under construction and the accounts were being created and the paperwork was being filled out, it was in, like, the month or two running up on September, you know. We were putting it together, and we were looking at when to make the official start point, and it was going to be ready first week or two of September. We're like, well, pardon my yawn, folks. I'm a little tired today. It's 10 o'clock at night here on the East, and it's been a big day. We were like, let's go ahead and choose 9/11 to be our founding date in honor of the victims of 9/11 who were killed due to our government's failure to protect our citizens and who were killed because bad people exploited our immigration laws. And
I go further than that. This is a Mossad operation. That's my take. But I'm not speaking for Alipac or William.
Well, it was clearly an immigration vectored attack.
Yeah, but who's behind that immigration vector? These people are very shrewd.
Well, also, when I first started Alipac, some of the people I'd met on some of the campaigns that I'd worked on for Congress were family members of people who had sons and daughters lost in the 9/11 attacks, who were in the World Trade Centers, and they were hot.
How many Jews did not go to work that day? Wasn't it 3,000 something?
I don't know anything about nothing like that stuff. I haven't heard that stuff, but you know, I don't know.
Well, it's important. You look at the totality of what happened, and you got to start doing the demographics somehow, even if they're politically aligned. Okay, we got 2 minutes left. Alipac.us is your honest last voice of freedom in this country. Now, I'm not overstating that. That's not hyperbole.
Thanks to the volunteers out there. We have volunteers who are doing short write-ups of this show and now posting links into the audio on your site over at Alipac and on other sites. And people are posting stuff on Rumble. You know, I think it'd be great.
Pass
if we
it around
how to get
as far and wide as you can. Dear friends, it's very important to hear William and to understand that there is a group out there that is honest, has morals, has true patriotism, not false patriotism, and is doing something. And I'm not speaking for William. He didn't tell me to say this. But I say shame on the other organizations who are allegedly fighting the invasion of this country and not helping Ali Pak with a little, give them 2% of their budget, whatever. That's shameful, in my view, and that's me.
Well, it works great the way it is with people who donate to us from all across the country, and we're not beholden to any millionaire.
We're not beholden to any larger group.
We're not a puppet affair of anybody else. You know, we try our best to represent. We try to be as honest and direct with people about what we're trying to do, and, you know, and hopefully that when we disagree about something and people think about discontinuing their support because of a disagreement, at least we're being honest with people instead of just pumping stuff out there what we think everybody wants to hear.
You're going to go down. You go down with all hands, and you stand on the truth, your truth, whatever it may be. And that's called character. That's nice. It's very important these days.
Well, I appreciate you and the program, Jeff, and I look forward to our next chance to talk, hopefully a week from today.
Very good. Well, we'll do it next Wednesday. In the meantime, take care of yourself. Go get some sleep.
Yeah, right, and everybody out there, make your time count, folks. Whatever you're
well
doing,
said.
Whatever you're focused on, make it count.
Every day is a blessing, a gift, and use it to your best ability. Okay.
Yeah.
Good night, William.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night.
All right. AliPak.us. All right, dear friends, we'll pause and we will come right back. The first official, allegedly, death from bird flu was reported today by the ever untrustworthy WHO. But we'll talk about that and lots of other things coming up next.